to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, poke a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me always, as always, is my fabulous co-host, Ryan. Hello, hey. Ryan.
As always, always.
Always. I don't know. I'm so tired, dude.
We need to get through this because we're in this together.
Yep.
Right? We're back. It was weird when I texted you today. I'm like, holy crap, it's Wednesday. That's surprising. Also, Didn't we just do this like 6 times in the last week?
It feels like we've talked a lot, and it's because we kind of have. We did 6 days in a row that we did Gamers Inn content, whether it was E3 coverage, E3 wrap-up, or Gamers Inn game night. We did all of it last week. It was a pretty intense week. So that's basically the only thing that I've played, because if you guys are listeners of Slaying Demons, you know that we put an offer in on a home this past weekend. So my week has been totally consumed with adulting. It's going kind of okay, I guess, but I'm not going to get into that because I went deep dive into it on Slaying Demons last night. So the only real game time I got other than playing the new raid in World of Warcraft last night was PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. We played that on game night last week, and it was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Honestly, I usually hate early access multiplayer only games. They often just present an experience that I want nothing to do with, but I was pleasantly surprised by Battleground and the fact that we placed, you know, top three in our first match, you know, is kind of crazy, but also
we did so well, dude.
I think so.
Really, really well. We consistently, the two of us, and then we had kind of different patrons rotating in and out. We like consistently made it to like the last little shrinking, to the point where it's like there's one tiny little hill that's contained, and like we did really, really well. I feel like I'm a very good ninja. I'm good at knowing like where other people probably aren't going to want to go.
That was definitely one of our strong suits when we were playing. And playing as a team, I think my favorite moment of us playing was
when I jumped out of the car.
By accident,
because I pushed the wrong button.
You did jump out of a car. Although my favorite moment was like the first moment when we got that house and we secured it, and it was all like protecting the stairs, and then we sent Simon out on a scavenging mission, and he came back alive, and we were all happy about it. And I think that was the one where we got to the very end, and I totally failed to kill someone because I hadn't fired a gun yet, and I forgot I had to reload, and the guy turned around and killed me.
And that's kind of the thing, is that there's two different kinds of weights to play. Is there's like the just hide till it's over way, which I really got pretty good at, and there's the actual like hunt people down, get really good at shooting, have a super good gun, because everyone kept making fun of me because I was running around with a shotgun. I was like, look, I hide. If someone opens the door, I'm going to blow them away. Otherwise, I'm going to sit here and not fire a gun. So,
yeah. So
what's the problem?
You were double shotgunning. And I guess for those who don't know, so PlayerUnknown's Battleground, it's all over there, but I'm sure there's someone listening that has no idea what we're talking about. But it's a game where 100 people spawn into a match. You start in a plane, and there's a map, and you have to exit the plane.
And it's the same map every time.
So, yeah, it's the same map. Is it not? It's not procedurally generated, like buildings and stuff? It is the same map?
No, it's the same map every time, except for what is random is the direction that the plane is flying. So the plane starts in a different spot every time, so you can't just say, like, okay, after 10 seconds, we jump, and then you push this for this long, and, like, because it does change it up that way. So it's almost like randomizing spawn points, because you can't necessarily jump from the plane and actually reach the spot on the map that you're planning. So you have to have a couple of different kind of plans, couple different options.
That's good.
But yeah, so it's it's the same map every time though.
Okay, so same map every time, different directions. So you're all, so we were in a squad. You can play with up to 4 players in the squad, or you can play with a variation of 1 to 4 and fill that squad. I think we had some randos in there when we were playing a couple times.
At the beginning when we didn't know what we were doing,
because
you can actually restrict. So you can go in with a team of 4, or you can go in with a team of like 2 or 3 and have those extra spots filled in by somebody, or you can restrict your team to just your party, and then that just means you're at a slight disadvantage because you only have two or three players instead of four, yeah. Or you can go in just as yourself and be one of those people that fills in the party, or just, you know, be on your own team. So
I would say definitely playing on a team is ideal, because I'm just that one of those guys, and maybe that's why I enjoyed myself so much, because we were playing on a team. And once you spawn, it was just all coordination. The three of us, four of us would be talking over Discord, figuring, okay, where are we going to go? How are we going to hold up? And you're just, the first thing you do when you get to the ground is you start looking for supplies.
Yeah, because you start with nothing.
Start with nothing. Literally, yeah. If you did not get to connect your Twitch Prime, you are naked. Like, you have no, maybe you can put on a t-shirt. I learned that.
You can, yeah. It's a t-shirt and jeans, basically.
Yeah, so if you pay for Twitch Prime, you can get a little extra something with Twitch logos all over yourself if you want to be a representer.
Total fanboy.
A fanboy, thank you. And, you just search for things. Guns, weapons, stabbing devices, vests, backpacks. I found the backpacks are very sort of, when you get one, you realize, oh yeah, this is super key, because you can then hoard all the ammo. And yeah. Then basically there's 100 of you, and there's a little counter in the top right that says how many of you are left. And slowly the map, the circle of the map kind of comes in on you. And then I thought originally you could predict where the new center of the map would then be. But it's randomized, right? Like, that was something we learned pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it decides where to put the circle. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not a, like, kind of, I guess, are they concentric circles? Are those the ones that all fit inside each other, like, and shrink down to the same point? Sure. Anyways, they're basically, like, it starts as a big circle, and then there will be a smaller circle somewhere inside that circle, but they don't always center around the same point. So, the smaller circle could be up in the top left of the bigger circle or something. So, you're right. I thought it was the same way. So we got lucky a couple of times in that, like, the new circle was very close to us, so we didn't have to travel a big, great distance. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how it decides that, if it's like, if it puts the circle around the location with, like, the least amount of players to make the most players move, or the most players to make the least amount of players move, or if it's totally random inside the existing play area, I don't know. But the size of the shrinking is standard, I think. Like, so you have, like, the same big size circle is the first shrink, and then the same second size circle is the same every time, and it's just the location that differs. So
yeah, and I think the way the map shrinking in these very specific time frames kind of encourages everybody like us who are holed up in a building to kind of get it a dodge, because occasionally you know, and there's advanced warning, so when you see where the new center of the map is, and then you got a specific amount of time before the outer circle starts to decrease, so you can see that force field approaching you. And there was a couple of moments where it was very close, and our butt hairs were singeing off from that force field. Some of us even died to it.
Yeah, it's not an instant death, but it's like, no. Whenever you're outside of the play area, you take ticking damage. So you can, and you can only survive outside the play area for like maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah,
so
it takes you down pretty quick, but it is quite exhilarating kind of running from it at the last minute, and then realizing you are literally running towards everybody else.
Yeah, you're running towards everybody else, and there's people that will wait right at the edge of the new play area if they have, if they're up on a hill or if they're in a building, they'll kind of camp that edge. So when you're making a mad dash for it right at the end, you're taking your life in your hands, man.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like dodging from tree to tree and like doing the whole, like, there was at one point where we just like got down into the prone position crawling on our stomachs for the whole time as the circle got smaller, because we're like, if we just hide in the grass, they can't shoot us because they'll never see us.
Yeah. It was
brilliant tactics.
It was one of those things where I felt like we hadn't played the game before, but we all snapped into it pretty quickly. And it's not a new concept, this battle royale thing. I've heard there's been a bunch of these modes, and this is even a new game based on a mod, as all games are these days. But it's it just it it hit us really quickly, and we got it, and we just kept playing until, and matches go very quickly. I would find that
Because you can queue in, like, assuming you're playing by yourself, you queue in as soon as you die, so you don't have to wait for your battleground to finish. It's like, if you're the first one eliminated, you can just re-queue into a new battleground right away. So, I mean, as long as you have to wait for your team to finish, but then I think there was one time where we got knocked out, like, 50 people in or something like that, so then we just queued into a new battleground. So I mean, it can go by pretty quickly, and you have the option of jumping into a new game right away, so it's quite fast paced.
Yeah, and it is very fast paced, and when you did die, like I died a couple times early, you get to spectate your players, and still it felt pretty close. Like when I was commenting on what was happening, you were able to react pretty quickly, and it didn't feel It kind of felt like we were cheating a little bit, but it didn't feel to the point that I was giving you an edge. Because if you're playing against other squads, they have those eyes. But it was nice to be able to see the fact that I could continue to contribute, even though I had valiantly died not 15, 20 minutes earlier. It gives you something to do. You're queuing as your squad. What else are they supposed to do? Just show a big black screen, you died, wait X amount of minutes. So... I think that this game is really well put together, and in terms of early access, it's pretty robust and didn't really give us many issues from what I recall. Once we got going, it was pretty smooth sailing, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I've had some issues where, like, you know, my Steam friends don't show up on my list, or I have like, I'll be in a party, I'll accept an invite, but nobody else shows up on my screen. So it's still early access, and some of those multiplayer friend type things aren't 100% polished.
Right.
But I mean, there's also a like refresh. Oh, also it's a total resource hog. Oh my God. It kills my computer worse than WoW does. Which, considering it's very, like, kind of low poly, it doesn't look that great because it's still all early alpha and very basic textures and stuff. But anyways, what was I going to say? Resource hog. There is like a big refresher UI button. So when you do reach a bug like that, like, they've pre-programmed a button in there to refresh things. And anytime I've refreshed, it's usually fixed the issue. So with the exception of the Steam friends list. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get that to actually show people as online. It just showed all my friends as offline. Even when I was in a party with you guys, it was still showing you as offline. I was like, I know they're not, because they're right here shooting guns right next to me.
Yeah. Oh, but, I think I had an issue where I couldn't... Yeah, it said loading screen, but it would still... I was still, like, on the plane, and I could hit the button to eject. Oh, right,
I remember that.
Yeah, so there was one issue.
I think that might have been the time that you died.
Yeah.
Because you pressed the button to eject from the plane, which was good, because then you at least ended up on the map. I don't actually know what happens if you just stay on the plane. Probably kicks you out when you get to the edge of the map.
Oh, probably.
So then Ryan just, like, dropped like a stone because he couldn't press any other buttons. He didn't know where we were going, so then we were trying to get to him, and then... Yeah, it didn't end well, but...
I wasn't too far away, but I think it kind of set us down a path of Ryan is expendable here. He's going to die. And I did. And I don't know. There was just moments where we were still having fun, even though we hadn't seen anybody all game, and we were just holding out in this house. And the fact that it encourages folks to continue to move, keep moving, to the point where we were at the very end of the map, and there was a very small area, and we were like, okay, clearly we're going to finally run into somebody. Mm-hmm. And when we did, it was just panic mode. And I don't know. It's a game.
It's like, you know, they have to be in the circle or they'd be dead. So
yeah, you would have,
like,
won.
There's literally two trees and a rock here. Like, where is this guy?
Yeah. And I'm terrible when it comes to, like, so for me,
spotting people before they spot you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm bad at that because, you know, Call of Duty, I die instantly because people are just so quick. And in this game, I think it plays to my strengths in that there's this huge map. And it offers a lot of strategy, and most of the strategy is playing against the mechanics of the game, not the fact that there are people around trying to kill you. And I think I think as it continues to shrink the map, it gets those players that usually do kill me more gets them out in the open more, because the map is constantly changing, as opposed to them just sitting in their favorite tree or their favorite corner and sniping everybody that doesn't really know the map, kind of walking around, oh, where am I, with their map out, you know. So it plays well to that strength and kind of encourages you to be more strategic while also penalizing folks that would find their favorite shack and just sit there trying to kill people. And and the scrounging, the scavenging thing is very addicting, you know, like, oh my God, I found a new muscle shirt. This is perfect. And there were some maps where we were just decked to the nines with backpacks and armor, and still didn't help, but still it was like, you felt badass. Like, I just, like, I scavenged all this stuff and I'm going to win the Hunger Games. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's very much what it kind of feels like is Hunger Games. And so it was a really good time. And it's like Ryan mentioned off the top, it is in early access, so it's not necessarily for everyone, because a lot of people don't like to invest in early access games, which I totally understand. I normally don't either, but this one everyone just raves about, and it's getting so many viewers on Twitch, and, you know, like, everyone seems to be really excited about this new title. So I was like, all right, fine. If everyone's having a good time, and I watched Scott Johnson play it with, I think, Ben and Bo and John, and it was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, they had a good
so
time.
So I was just like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this a try. So, it's been a lot of fun, and I do recommend it for anybody who wants to give it a try, but knowing that it is in early access and there are some buggy things, including for me, I don't know about you if yours was the same, but the sound quality when you're in the, like, lobby waiting, because you basically, like, you load in and there's, like, a bunch of picnic tables and there's, like, a crash plane and there's a whole bunch of, like, guns just laying around. And it's, like, the loading thing. You're waiting for the server or whatever. So you can go and pick up guns and shoot people and nothing actually happens. There's no health bars. Like, nobody dies. It's just, like, you're bored, you're waiting, here's some guns, go play with it. But the sound quality in there, like, I don't know if they've got some weird echo or something, or, like, trying to make it sound more like a realistic outside space or something. But for me, the sound quality in there was awful. Awful. So that's one thing. Like, I wish you could just, like, mute that, like, mute gun sounds in lobby or something would be a very nice addition to that. And you guys can, if you're curious, you can check out the stream, because, we did stream it. So
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, a good couple hours. And yeah, that lobby is terrible. And if you don't mute the other, if you don't.
Oh, yeah, because you can hear everyone in the lobby, I think. Yeah.
And you will hear the worst of the worst. It's PC gaming. No offense to PC gamers, but it is PC gaming. It's early access. It's a multiplayer only title. This game is ripe for those folks who buy one game, play it forever, and this is it, because I think that this game is doing gangbusters. It's being highly supported by the developers, coming to Xbox and PlayStation and all those fun consoles very, very soon. So expect this thing to just continue to be amazing. And I think there was actually news that they're going to be adding a zombie mode, which I know might have some people excited, but it sounds like the mode
It feels like that. Like, it feels like you're in kind of an apocalypse, because there's all these abandoned buildings. There's abandoned apartments and schools and nuclear power plants and ruins and all kinds of different locations on the map. So it very much feels like some sort of apocalypse has happened. So I can see, like, throwing zombies into that map makes sense to me. And it's kind of cool, too, because, like, throwing a bunch of zombies into that space, it's like it's another hazard and another thing that might cause you to either move or fire your gun, which, you know, as soon as you fire your gun, then it's like people know where you are. So that's kind of like it's another reason to move around. And so that could be a nice little variable to throw in is zombie, which I don't usually say that zombies are a nice little fun addition.
Yeah,
usually I'm anti-zombie, so.
The idea, I think, would be that they would be player controlled, so when you die, you turn into a zombie, and then maybe you get a second chance to attack, and or maybe It would be nice, though, if zombies were just a thing that occurred in the game, and then you also have to think
like
about...
Like an environmental factor, like rain.
Yeah, exactly. Like rain.
Oh, you're in the middle of the zombie storm! Uh-oh!
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned that, but like zombie hordes just like, you know, going through the plains. It's like, oh no, we gotta let them pass, or else they'll come get us. Oh no, we have to shoot this guy. Now they're coming to get us. Ah! It would be interesting, and honestly, I just want to see them do more with this game, because I think right now I like what they have there, and I want to see more maps, maybe some weather systems. You could do a lot of cool things with this game, because the core gameplay loop is fantastic. I think they've got that down, and they could probably focus on just more modes, more maps, and just continue to polish that core gameplay loop. And yes, work on the technical aspects, because it is a hog. And I can, you know, imagine that if I was running it, you know, and having issues, you're running it and streaming it. Mm-hmm. Even if you're using a second rig to stream, it's still having to do a lot of work. So
yeah.
It works really well. And honestly, we're probably looking at a Steam sale coming up. So if you want to get a good maybe chunk of change off of it, I'd wait like a couple days, but certainly pick it up. I'll be playing more of it, because I'm really looking forward to keeping up with the development on it.
Speaking of things that are being developed, we talked last week when we were covering E3, we talked about their big announcement, which is the next Wolfenstein game. So Ryan, you got some time in with Old Blood?
Yeah, so Wolfenstein was one of those games that came out in 2014 by Machine Games, and then they did an
expansion. Old Blood is the first one, right?
So it had Wolfenstein the New Order, which was the one in 2014. Okay. Then Old Blood was a prequel expansion that was two pieces of DLC that they combined into a standalone expansion. So you can actually go pick up the Old Blood standalone, not having to own the other game. Again, Steam sale probably next to nothing. And I don't know, I started to play the New Order, and I think the reason I didn't quite get far was because I had set the difficulty too high. And it's one of those games where it's not precise shooting, but it is an arcade shooter where if you don't take cover and shoot semi in the right direction, I'm terrible at aiming. So I just fell off it pretty quick. But it's one of those games that, and the trailer kind of showcased this, has a very unique story to it, and tells a story really well, considering the type of game it is. You know, when you compare first-person shooters across the board, story isn't necessarily the thing that comes to mind in terms of its top qualities. But with Wolfenstein, I think that you can throw the story on top, especially like, surprising considering where its roots come from, which is a very rudimentary first-person shooter, like one of the first ones. So when you look at, when I was playing a little bit of the New Order again, I kind of felt the same way, whereas I'm not a huge fan of the arcade shooter, but I was digging the story, but I was still finding a little frustration as I was trying to progress in the game. So I decided to jump off of that one and check out Old Blood, which I thought was kind of, I wasn't sure what it was. Turns out it's a prequel. So it was kind of nice to go back and play Old Blood, because New Blood takes place... There's a time jump, and it takes place in the 60s, right? Whereas Old Blood still takes place in World War II, where you're still fighting. You're fighting Nazis no matter what, but you're fighting Nazis during World War II, as opposed to fighting Nazis in a future where they won World War II. So the Old Blood is a little standalone expansion, and I think that it offered a different type of gameplay to begin with. Unfortunately, the first chapter was all stealth, but... once I got the hang of it, it was kind of fun. But I don't know. It was just, I saw that trailer. I wanted to experience that world a little bit more, because I had missed out on it when it originally came out. 2014, I don't know if maybe it was long enough ago, but that game kind of looks a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
but it's hard to think that we've come that far in 3 years, but maybe we have. You know, having played Doom, which is on the same engine. Doom looks fantastic, and Wolfenstein kind of just, I don't know whether I didn't change my graphic settings or something, but it kind of looked a little like Xbox 360-ish. I don't know, like, that might be a little harsh, but it kind of looked like textures weren't loading. It's really weird to describe. It just didn't look right. But Old Blood looked pretty good, and I was enjoying it, and I think for folks who are excited by the sequel to Wolfenstein coming out in later on this year, I think in October. I think Old Blood is probably a good one to jump into and check out. And then if you like that, check out The New Order. I think you have to really dig the arcade shooter, though. You know, the spray and pray, the, you know, the constantly picking things up, like you're constantly eating food, you're constantly picking up armor, ammo, weapons. Yep. But it is just a sit down, turn your brain off, have fun type shooter. And don't be afraid to turn the difficulty down, because I find that the way they handle difficulty in these type of games is just throw more enemies at you, and those enemies are then spraying and praying more, and it's just this cycle of you constantly dying, and it's just not fun. So I'm playing on normal right now, which is, you know, I die sometimes, but it's still pretty fun. But the story is really interesting.
Kind of key. You need to find the difficulty level where you kind of die every once in a while, so it is actually challenging, but you're not like, you're not dying all the time, you're not rolling over enemies. Like, there's a balance there to be found where your skill is challenged without being frustrating.
You know, you gotta find the fun, and I think that that's where I was, where I fell into a hole with the original time I played, which would have been right around when it came out. And you know, I just, the difficulty kind of hit me hard, and I was like, I'm gonna go try something else, and never went back to it. But I think that, like, we were itching for some World War II, and I think the Old Blood is kind of giving me that feel. Although it is, like, more of a tongue-in-cheek, comical, like, high parody of it, where the Nazis are, like, super evil and doing, like, supernatural things. Kind of like Indiana Jones, although you wouldn't know that reference. You haven't watched Indiana Jones. But, yeah, no, I'm digging it, and I'm going to keep playing. So yeah, The Old Blood, check it out. Definitely add it to your wish list and pick it up on Steam when it goes on sale, because I'm sure it'll be heavily discounted.
Yeah, so that's our news this week. We have a couple of different news pieces, but before we get to that, we want to thank our patrons. So if you want to head to patreon.com/thegamersin, you too can become a patron of the show. You guys make it possible for us to do the show and for us to do really cool content like Gamers In Game Night. We have some other stretch goals to do other things like news wrap-ups and extra episodes for you guys. So if any of that sounds interesting, head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin. We have an ad this week from The Geek Review. It says, The Geek Review is a podcast that reviews everything and anything. For an honest consumer review, The Geek Review can be found on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Discord, and at thegeekreview.podbean.com. So thank you so much for supporting The Gamers In. So I mentioned Steam as our news this week. I was going to say Polygon. PayPal has leaked again the dates of the Steam sale. They are offering $5 off for purchases of $20 or more, or I guess it's pounds, so £5 off for a purchase of £20 or more over in Europe, which extends through July 5th, stating that the sale starts tomorrow, so June 22nd to July 5th seems to be the date of the Steam sale. So, Ryan, do you have anything you're looking to pick up during this, this Steam sale?
You know, probably, like, there's got to be a bunch of indie games that I have just missed out on or have kind of fell under my radar that I just haven't had time to play and added to my wish list and feel like I need to pick those up. But nothing, like, pops into my head, because most of the bigger titles we kind of just pick up as we go. And there's always something. You get in there, you usually buy one. Like, if you don't buy something, I think you've won the lottery, kind of. Or you maybe buy too many video games. But I think I've been getting better at that, where I'm waiting, I'm being cautious, and I'm not buying things right away. So we'll see.
See. I'm just looking at my wish list now. I have a couple of things that I'm looking forward to. There's Prey, so we played the demo, but I didn't actually pick it up, so see if that goes on sale. Then there's also Outlast 2, which, again, Ryan, you played, but I just put on my wish list as a, I'd like to, but maybe that's not full price. And then also there's stuff that I missed out on, like, way long ago, which is, like, Grand Theft Auto 5, which is still a $70 title. Like, if that goes on sale, then I might pick it up, so... I have some AAA titles on my wish list. I also have, obviously, South Park, but I don't expect that to go on sale before it even comes out. So I think that's probably what I'm going to be looking at is Outlast 2, Prey, And then there are some indie titles like Ori and the Blind Forest I don't actually own yet, so it's technically on my wish list, and it's already, I think, discounted-ish. It's only $20, so I might pick it up because I'm sure that'll go on sale as well. What with the new title has been announced, was announced at E3, so I think, yeah, that's probably like my top three or four.
Yeah, I was just going to pull up my wish list. I hadn't even thought. I kind of just add things to my wish list willy-nilly as I see things popping up, and it's always a great way. But as Aiko or Aiku underscore underscore in the chat room says, I don't know if you pronounce those underscores, so I apologize.
I see you.
Oh. Well, we still don't know if we pronounce the underscores, so let's agree to disagree. He says he's two Steam sales behind on what he's played, and I bet you any money I am also
I'm at least two Steam sales behind as
at
well.
At least two, because if you think about it, I think we can only really count the two major Steam sales, which are Winter and Summer. And yeah, I'm sure there's things I bought on the Summer Steam sale that I have not played, although maybe I was a little bit better last year. I like to think, you know... I think we were.
I don't remember us like going like all out with Steam sales.
I think I tried. Like I know
that might be because we purchased a lot more stuff at full price, though. Eer,
gosh,
which
yeah.
isn't really better.
No, it's not. And I'm thinking that again, there's probably some indie titles. I'm still waiting for it to load, but I'm sure there's stuff on there. And maybe it's not a good idea to look at my Steam list because I'll be just looking at my Steam wallet slowly decreasing. But I think you're right. Like Prey is one of those that I kept meaning to pick up, but never quite got around to it. Dishonored 2 was another one I wanted to try. I love the first one and never really got around to trying the second one, even though, again, I love that franchise. And really, I'm sure there are others, but maybe looking at some season passes that I didn't quite pick up yet, like for some games, and breathing new life into those. Civ 6, there's got to be some DLC out by now, right?
I know, right?
It's been a while. So I think there's tons on there, and tomorrow will be a big day for Steam when they launch. And I'm sure there'll be some like quirky little mini game thing that you can play alongside of it, whether it's card collecting or interacting.
It's been card collecting the whole like last three or four sales.
Yeah, and I don't hate cards, but I've stopped trying. I've stopped trying when it comes to cards. You know, another one that actually might be worth adding to people's list is Hitman Season 1, because I think that game was doing... It's actually on sale right now. I'm not sure it'll go on sale even more, but yeah, definitely lots to look out for. I mean, we just live in an embarrassment of riches when it comes to video games, and I'm sure there is at least one game that you have been meaning to pick up that will now go on sale. So look out for it.
Yeah, so like we mentioned, starts tomorrow, June 22nd, according to PayPal. That might not be the actual launch date, but guys, it's probably the launch date. So yeah, just keep your eyes on Steam. I'm sure if you're anything like me, they're going to send you 10,000 emails telling you all the things on your wish list that are on sale. So I'm sure none of you are actually going to miss it. But just in case you have like unchecked all the email me boxes, like, you know, my wallet wishes I would. Then, just in case you've done that and you're not actually going to get the notifications tomorrow, take a look because, we're in for about 2 weeks of Steam summer sales, so should be good times. So we also wanted to give as kind of a wrap-up to our wrap-up of E3, we wanted to go over just some of the stuff. There was an article on IGN basically talking about the top 10 things that were missing from E3, and I don't think we need to talk about every single one of them, but I think there are some pretty specific examples of things that we're missing. One of them we did touch on, I guess it must have been in our E3 wrap-up, but Death Stranding, which is the so far just really weird, like covered in handprints Norman Reedus with something to do with a baby and then lots of black goo. Like, we really don't know much about this at all. It's just, it's bizarre, basically. So we didn't see anything about it. So how do you feel about that, Ryan?
Personally, I'm fine with that. I think Death Stranding is one of those games that is not going to be out for at least another 3 years. Like, we're looking probably 2019, 2020 for this thing. And that's kind of scary when you think about it. And I just think that Kojima is playing the long game here, trying to see how long Sony will fund his project and allow him to bring even more crazy actors on, like Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen. Also, I think this was also another one of those games where we got a new trailer at the PlayStation Experience in December. Mm. And those CG trailers are really expensive to develop. And I could see them, just like another title we're going to talk about, skipping E3 to allow them to focus on actual gameplay. You know, where the Sony the PlayStation conference was mainly dominated by gameplay of games that are coming out in the next year. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily surprised it was missing, but honestly, it is a little disappointing because I want to see what next thing that Kojima is going to weird us out with. And both trailers that have come out for Death Stranding have been incredibly weird and
they've been
fun to
weird
watch.
And creepy, but like for two totally different reasons. Like, yeah. They didn't, other than kind of like the black slimy sludge, they didn't even look like they belonged in the same universe. Like, one was like this weird beach thing, and then the other was like this kind of city and the sewers and stuff, and like they were two totally different locales. So I have no idea what to expect from this game, none whatsoever, and I'm kind of sad that we didn't get to see more at E3, but mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll hear more about it sometime in the next year or two.
Probably. I think honestly we'll see more before the end of the year, and they might even toss a date out, because I think we're getting to the point where they could confirm a date. But I'd be surprised if it was 2018, because Kojima is he's known for his long development times and trying to get things as Kojima as possible. So he'll take his time with this one, and I think PlayStation will let him for sure.
So you mentioned that, you know, trailers, CG trailers are a lot of work and everything else. And there was another absence that you wanted to talk about that you think that might be why, maybe. So which game were you thinking of?
So the Last of Us Part 2.
Last of Us? Okay. I was gonna say, is it Last of Us? And then I'm like, oh, there's another couple of options here. So
yeah, this one was a surprise. Like, Last of Us Part 2 being announced in December was a big surprise.
And it was a super short little trailer, right? It was only like 30 seconds long. So it wasn't even like, it was very much like a teaser. So having a little short teaser announcement trailer so long ago, like 6 months ago, seems like they might be setting up a big, longer announcement trailer to be shown at E3. And so I think, well, I mean, obviously we were surprised. We had Katie on specifically to talk about Last of Us, and then they didn't show any Last of Us, so
yeah, it caught all of us by surprise that we just assumed this game was going to be shown, and the reasoning was just that, you know, Uncharted Lost Legacy is coming out in August, that's what we're focusing on, and The Last of Us Part 2 will get its years in the limelight, you know, and I think it's a smart move to kind of focus on this expansion that they're developing, or standalone side adventure, whatever the hell they're calling it now, to encourage us to pay X amount of dollars for it. But I think that we'll see more of The Last of Us Part 2, and they are working on it. Like, clearly the producer, the director, whatever he is, Neil Druckmann has been really vocal on Twitter about what he's doing day to day with this game. So we shouldn't be worried. I'd be more worried about other titles on this list them being absent, but Last of Us Part 2 is very much in development, and its absence from E3 shouldn't spook us.
Yeah. So is one of the ones that you're worried about possibly Red Dead Redemption 2? Because I was really surprised. We did get the announcement, I guess, in May that it was being delayed. Mm-hmm. So it was originally supposed to, like, they announced it in 2016 and late 2016, and we're like, it's coming in 2017. And everyone went, oh, no way. Like, we knew you might make another one, but we never thought you'd announce it and release it within a year. And then they went, actually, we're not. It's going to be delayed.
I'm going to have to delay.
But yeah, so they did announce a delay until 2018, but we kind of thought that they might, even with that delay, have something to show us at E3. So are you concerned about Red Dead Redemption 2 possibly a little bit because the delay was coupled with a no-show at E3?
As someone who just wants to see more Red Dead Redemption 2, because I think the original trailer was kind of just, it was more locales, less story, not a lot of like combat, no gameplay, just kind of locations. It looks amazing, but I really wanted to see more of it, and the fact that it wasn't present doesn't necessarily worry me. It's just, it's unfortunate, and I honestly think that if it hadn't been delayed, we would have got it at one of the press conferences. We would have seen it, seen something with it, and but Rockstar is one of those companies
That's why I'm kind of a little concerned, because I would think with an October announcement and an original 2017 launch date that the E3 presentation for Red Dead Redemption 2 would have kind of like been in the works, you know, like something would have been ready to go. So the fact that even the kind of extra teasers, a little bit more information, you know, some more footage, like whatever they would have shown us at E3 was kind of pulled as well, because I've got to assume it was originally in the lineup, right? So the fact that they've pulled that as well, I'm kind of like, oh man, they don't even want to show us like little sneak peeks or anything, even for a launch date in 2018, like even whether it's spring or whether it's going to be pushed, because I think they just said it was being pushed to 2018. They didn't say spring, fall, nothing. They just said 2018. So
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good
point. Even being pushed to 2018, you would still think that they'd have something to show us. So I am a little bit worried.
Yeah,
that, well, something's just not quite right.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like Rockstar loves to take their time, and Rockstar also for some reason doesn't love to be in the limelight before a game comes out, but like 2 months, three
too
months,
much expectations.
Yeah, people
Red Dead Redemption 2 is gonna have expectations regardless, right? Like people are going to have like lots and lots and lots of expectations, yeah, because the first game was so well received, right? So
yeah, well, the first Redemption, and I think that This is one of those games that I think people are going to love when it comes out, and I don't know if they needed to show it at E3. Like, it's kind of the fan, you know, just the fans are craving this title, and I don't think showing it at one of the conferences was needed. You know, a lot of the games on this list, you know, are, as you get to the top three that we've gone through, those are games that just don't need the press and could happily sit it out. But some of the other games that you could get to around here might be a little concerning, because they could certainly use the press, you know. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about Red Dead Redemption 2. I just want it right now.
Nice. Fair enough. Are there any other games on this list that you specifically wanted to mention, or should we just steer people over to the IGN article?
Yeah, definitely check out the IGN article. Most of these are just, you know, fair game, like in terms of the ones they're listing here, and like they're not even far enough in development, they've probably already been canceled, and that they were shown years ago.
Like Dead Island 2?
Well, Dead Island 2 is a good one to focus on, because it was one that had an amazing launch trailer, but was CG, being developed by Jaeger, and then they pulled Jaeger from the project and put Sumo Digital on. But Sumo Digital is actually launching a game this year. They're launching Crackdown 3. They've been very busy, so the fact that Dead Island 2 isn't there is kind of worrisome, in that it hasn't been officially canceled, but who's working?
It's probably on pause. Yeah.
Yeah, like Crackdown 3, probably Microsoft came in. I don't even know if Crackdown is Sumo Digital's like game, or they were just contracted out. I actually don't know, but the fact that Sumo Digital is taking money from Microsoft and making this Crackdown 3 game tells me that Dead Island 2, yeah, must be on pause to some extent. But Dead Island 2 is kind of the franchise that Deep Silver has, like that put them on the map. So they're not going to kill Dead Island 2. They'll just wait until they're ready to resurrect it at some point. I'm sure when we get a trailer for it and we get an updated look, that game will be coming out like 6 months later. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Hopefully.
All right. So I think that's pretty much going to do it for us this week. We have a little bit of a shorter show tonight because I am exhausted. And Yay. Ryan has a guest on Zombies Ate My Podcast tonight. So we got to get out of here in a very quick amount of time. So Ryan, do you want to just tell everybody what's happening on XAMPP tonight?
Sure. So on XAMPP, we have our guest, Mike. He's coming on from the College Gamers Podcast. The reason I hesitate is I want to make sure I do not get it wrong. because I don't have the notes in front of me. But Mike, I was on Mike's podcast, you know, maybe a couple months ago, and Lou's having some family stuff going on, so he's going to be sitting one out, and Mike's going to pop in. We're going to talk about zombie games from E3. There was a lot of them, and including Dead Island 2 that we're probably going to touch on as well, because we're all a little disappointed it was not there. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that stuff, but you can check the feeds over at zombies8mypodcast.com. I'm sure that episode will be posted right alongside this episode of the Gamers Inn. So if you're listening to this, you could then go to zombies8mypodcast.com.
Wonderful. We have another patron ad this week from Simon, who says, Geekly News Desk is a podcast all about the geek news this week. Join your two knucklehead hosts, Andrew and Simon, as they keep you informed on movies, TV, video games, and books. You can find them on iTunes or at geeklynews.com. That's going to do it for us this week. I did want to remind everybody that we are about 20 days left in our Embrace the Spoilers Kickstarter project. So if you guys like to hear Garrett and I talk about things like Game of Thrones, Indiana Jones, and all of your summer movies, go and check out Kickstarter. You can go to bit.ly/embracethespoilers if you want to get the quick link over to the Kickstarter project. We're about 75% funded. We're really excited. We have a lot of cool stretch goals. So go and check that out. In the meantime, you can visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com. You can also find us on A-Move TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, The Angry Chicken, For Azeroth, and Embrace the Spoilers. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also head on over to my YouTube channel, which is where we have posted all of the footage from E3. So if you guys missed our coverage, you can get it either through the iTunes audio feed, or you can go and check out my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy. Was quite a lot of work last week, but we had a really great time, so I encourage you guys to go and check that out. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you plan to pick up on the Steam sale, please do so at info@gamersandpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Except, maybe not. I don't know. Ryan, are you doing a show next week? Because I'm going to be at Nerdtacular.
I should figure that out, because I was just about to say, tune in next week. I don't know. Someone will be here. I'll be here. Someone All right. else.
If nothing else, Ryan will be here talking to himself, so make sure you guys come and check it out at again.
Oh God, it's already the end of June. What the?
It is the end of June. I know. Nerdtacular is literally next week.
We had this conversation in March. It's like, so you going to Nerdtacular? Nah, I can't go to Nerdtacular. Okay, so you'll need to find a guest for like 2 weeks in a row. Perfect. I'll figure it out. It's now June. I've got nothing. So email info
I'm glad at Gamers. I gave you. Yeah, if you'd like to guest on the show, don't make Ryan do it all himself, because he clearly drops balls. So.
Yeah, all over the floor. Just balls, not balls in everywhere. The air. Yeah. Caden, yeah, Caden will come on. No, we'll figure something out. I'm just kidding. We have a plethora of friends that I can talk to that were unable to go to Nerdtacular, so although I guess most of the people, yeah, we'll figure it out.
Ryan,
don't worry,
I'll figure
everybody.
It out, guys. I have faith in Ryan.
Everyone stay calm, okay?
On that, remember, tune in next week.
Yes, tune in next week. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.